Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I trust as we look into the Word of God this morning that we can be challenged anew in our lives. I've been blessed by the devotional meditation and the thoughts that were shared on commitment. And life, you're going to commit yourself to something. You're going to commit yourself to something. My question is, what are you committing yourself to? And that question's real because you watch people all around you committing themselves to something. Whether that's style and fad, whether that's a life of sin, whether that's whatever it is, they're committing themselves to something. And you're committing yourself to something too. Committing yourself to God may mean that it's going to cost you more than you maybe want to pay sometimes. That hurts, but it's real. Turn with me for a message here to 2 Kings chapter 4. Fear and despair. I'm sure you can identify with me this morning of times in your life of despair. Times in your life when life, when there was nowhere to turn, when there was no way where to go, when your options were run out, when God's way, just your flesh recoiled at it, when you were up against life, its circumstances. And it's in those times that your commitment determines your choice. Your commitment determines your choice in the times when you are up against, when you are against the block wall and you are trying to decide what to do. You have your own way and your own thinking. God has His way and His thinking. Despair, dealing with fear and despair. We have a story here of a widow woman, Elisha, and a miracle here. And we can see this story and we look at it and it all lays out and we can see exactly how it worked out. And you know, it's just glorious, right? It just is okay. And you know, in the end, you're going to have plenty of oil. In the end, it's all going to be all right. In the end, it's going to be peaceful. In the end, and as you know, maybe you're different than me, but that's not how I found life to work out all the time. Sometimes in the end, it actually hurts. Sometimes in the end, it's actually painful. Sometimes in the end, it's not very pleasant. But if you have God, then you have something. If you have God, you have something. Because there's something that happens in the end of those times. It doesn't matter how painful, it doesn't matter how unpleasant, there's rest in the mind of those who choose God, and there is unrest in the mind of those who choose not God. I'm going to read the story here. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and that the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thine house? And she said, Thine handmaid hast not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, that thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into those vessels, that and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, had shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessel to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. This widow woman was against a block wall. The creditors were coming to take her sons, and under the Jewish law, that was okay. They were allowed to do that. They were coming to take what she had, the little bit she had left. I don't know what it means, but nothing in the house except a pot of oil. But I don't think there was a lot of furnishings of high expense setting around the house. I don't think the pantry was packed with food. I don't think that there was a corner. She had some goods stashed that she could sell for money and somehow get out of her pinch. She was stuck. She was stuck with a predicament that she could do nothing about. I don't know what you're facing this morning. Maybe you're facing broken relationships. Maybe that's on a church front. Maybe that's on a home front. Maybe that's with children. I don't know. Whatever area you find yourself in, maybe that's a financial crisis. Maybe it's some other area, a death. But nonetheless, there's things in life that bring us up against ourselves, and we have nowhere to turn. With God, there's always hope. With man and himself, there is always despair. This morning, God is never the author of despair, but always the author of hope. There was a man that lived, he was a pastor in Europe during the 30-year war. It was between the years of 1618 to 1648. He was forced to flee from his home and village. He was homeless, afraid. He had nothing left. He was simply out in the cold, just simply there. There was nothing he had left. He was forced to get away from all that he had. And he broke down and he cried. And he penned the words to this song. He said, "Give to the winds thy fear, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. Through the waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time, so shall the night end in joyous day." That man saw something deeper than himself. He saw something deeper than the circumstances that he was in. He saw that there was a God that was over all, that saw all, that knows all, that understands all. You know, one of the hardest things in life when you're up against things is to look to God and say, "I'm yours. It's okay." And just simply rest in the hand of God and kind of let circumstances in life work out the way they're going to work out. I'd like to look at a couple different areas that this woman did that I think we can learn from this morning as we look at this story. And first of all, I think we need to understand the desperation this woman was up against. We talked about that a little bit. But she was frustrated. She was frustrated. Verse 1 says, "That now there cried a certain woman of the wisest sons of the prophets." This wasn't simply a cry. This was a weeping and a wailing. This was a frustration. This was a deep pain. And one of the things I want us to understand here this morning is that she got the closest to God that she could get. She turned to the Lord for her strength. You know, in our despair and fear, we need to turn to God. But in one of C.S. Lewis's books, and I don't have it word for word, but he says this in The Devil, relating to one of his other devils. He said, "Our cause is most lost when a man looks out across the bleak landscape of his life and turns around and follows God." Life this morning is uncertain at its best. It is uncertain at its best. You can expect hard times. You can expect turmoil if you follow God. Adam and Eve understood what disparity was when they ate of the fruit of that tree. God came walking, looking for them. You know, God is still looking for men to follow Him. He wants to provide a way for you to be His disciple. He wants men to be His disciple. Turning to God, even when it doesn't make sense. Following God from human perspective doesn't always make sense. It's not going to be this thing that it's just always going to line up and the things are always going to slot and it's always going to be okay. That's not what following God is all about. David said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." I will lift up mine eyes. Look to God. See God. You know, if you want to see God, you will find Him in everything. And if you don't want to see God, you will find Him in nothing. That's where bitter people go. They refuse to see God, and they will not find Him in anything. Nothing. Their life is empty and blank. But if you want to find God, I'm of the firm belief that God gives you eventually what you want. God will give you what you want. So my question to you this morning is, what do you want? If you want God, if you want His kingdom, if you want His church, if you want to be part of that and you desire that, you're going to find it. You're going to get there. If you want that out there, the world and it's what it's got to offer you, you're going to find it. You're going to get there. And there's men that get to go both places. Matthew says that the gate is narrow and the way is rough. But there's a wide gate. There's a man that said once that he said the wide gate is easy. You enter the gate and you can have everything you want. And you walk the road and the road gets narrower and narrows down until you're the only one left. You can't take your bottle, you can't take anything you want, all your stuff. You can't take it at the very end. But you can have it on the road of life. Or you can give that up now and you can enter the small gate. And your possibilities, no, it won't be your stuff. No, it won't be maybe what you want. But the joy and the happiness and the peace that you will experience by entering just yourself through that narrow gate is worth it. It's worth it. But it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost. It comes at a cost to myself. It comes laying down me. You can't take self along with you into the kingdom of God. It doesn't work. You will end. Turn to the Lord. She was distressed. She went to this prophet. What should I do? Where should I turn? How should I relate to this? You know, back some time, a number of years ago, we were up in Massachusetts, and we were there along the edge of the water on the sand. And I forget even what time, but I can tell you, I could lay out in my mind the exact picture of that day. It was a clear, sunny day. And it was right before tide had come in, and we were just enjoying the day there on the sand along the ocean. And we were kind of in and out of the water, and we sat our little son, we had three children at the time, and our youngest was, I'm not sure if he was under two, but we had him on a blanket there on the sand playing, and I had given him my keys to my vehicle that day to play with there on the sand, keep him happy so I could be out in the water. And the tide come in, and when we realized that the water was up around the blanket, and so we grabbed the blanket, went back up on the sand, and it was a few minutes later, after there was about 6 inches of water over that spot, that I realized I didn't have my keys to my vehicle. And I felt a bit desperate because I didn't know. There was not. We began to search, run all over that sand, and I mean, the closest we could come to was a 20-foot square that these keys were in. So we were circling this area and looking in this area. And my wife said, "Let's pray." And I'm thinking, pray? Like, where are the keys? Let's find the keys. That was kind of the last thought on my mind. But a willing mother and a grudging father, we stood there in a circle and prayed with the two children. And you know, we got done praying a few minutes, and we opened our eyes, and right there in the sand was the black part of the key sticking out. I felt this little tap on my shoulder saying, shame on you. You know, you couldn't even trust me for a little bit. Like, you know, can you trust me with the things of your life? But it's a story. God's saying, it's okay. Life doesn't always work out where that just happens like that. But it was a lesson to me, and it stuck in my mind forever. It stuck in my mind what God can do. Turn to Psalms chapter 37. David had many times that he was just in despair. Psalms 37, verses 39 to 40. Actually, we're going to break in before that. Actually, 39 and 40 there. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them. Why? Because they trust in him. God will save those who are willing to trust in him. God will save those who are willing to turn away from the pleasures of this life to simply follow God in a selfless manner. Serving him each step, each direction. Turn over to Psalm 62. I'm going to read a few more verses over here. David here speaking, he says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, and they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my salvation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before God. Before him, God is our refuge. Selah. David said, pour out your heart. And that brings me to point number two. And that is that this widow woman was willing to talk. Tell God about her struggle, what she was up against. I don't believe she went and she just shared little bits and she kind of tried to taint a story to help her predicament. She went and just laid it out before God. You know, if you want to kind of keep little parts for yourself and you want to kind of control this situation and you want to kind of, well, want to make sure it happens, you're going to limit God. You're going to limit what God can do for you. This woman pulled out all the stops. She didn't have part of this story. She wasn't kind of tainting. I don't gather she was tainting this thing. She cried. She was up against fear hung at the door. I believe there was a bit of fear and trepidation as she shared, but she was willing to talk to God and tell God all. God wants to hear the little details of my life. He wants to hear the things I'm facing. Talking to God is very important if you want God to help. There's the old song that says, are you weary, are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieved with joys departed? Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Are you anxious about tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Are you willing to tell Jesus everything about your life? Is everything in your life open for God to see? Friends, this morning, if we can't open our life fully, God can't work. God cannot help. God can't do what we don't let him do. You know, there's the old saying is that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And you know, God can make all the water he wants flow past you, but if you won't drink, God can't help you. God cannot help those who refuse to drink from the wells of his salvation. He can't bring hope to those who refuse to drink from the hope that he offers. I won't do it. He cannot do it, but he can lead you there. Another thing that this widow woman was willing to do, besides talk, is she was willing to give what she had. Not only did she talk, but she gave to the Lord of what she had. My mind went back to the Shunammite woman that was gathering sticks to bake a cake for her and her son, and then they were going to die as they were out of food. And Elijah came along and he said, make me a cake first. And she did that. And she was blessed. Okay? It never ran out. The food never ran out. Giving what I have to the Lord for him to bless. It doesn't matter if it's something little, if it's something great. It doesn't matter how big. God only needs 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he will feed a multitude. God only needs little things. He just wants you. He wants your personal life. He wants your personal service. He wants your heart. God can do anything with a heart that says, yes, Lord. What are the things that you're saying yes to? And what are the things that you're saying no to in your life? You're always, maybe you're not like me, where your life is just constantly bombarded with things to do. But you're constantly decided, should I or should I not? Should I or should I not? You're constantly faced with the decision of what you're going to do with your life. And you're saying yes to this, and you're saying no to that, and every time you're saying yes to something, you're saying no to something else, and every time you're saying no to something, you're saying yes to something else. And you think about that, because that's very true. You never have an empty spot in your life where you just have nothing to do. You keep it full. And what are you saying no to, and what are you saying yes to? Talked about this a little bit in devotions, but it said the price that comes with saying, I will do what you want me to do, and I will go where you want me to go. The price that comes to saying yes to God and no to self doesn't always come with a life of ease. There was nothing in this house, she said. Elisha's first question was, what do you have in your house? And she said, I have this little pot of oil. And I don't know if that was this big or if that was this big, but it was little. She said, this is all I have, just this little pot of oil. I don't have anything left. And there's a sense in life, I almost gather from this widow woman, that she had nothing to hide. She told this prophet, she's like, I don't have anything left. Here's what I got. I get the sense she was done fighting. And she's saying, just tell me what I need to do. And friends, this morning, that is where God wants us. Listen, every one of us need to get to the point where actually, I don't have answers. I don't have something to kind of somehow make this situation work out better for me. And that is when God can work, when I get to that point in my life. Because then is when you can get to the point where you're willing to trust God. Give Him what you have and say, God, it's yours. Whatever you want to do with the little bit that I have, it is yours. Just give it to the Lord and trust Him. And that is another point to this widow woman here. Is she trusted to the Lord what she had. She just gave it to Him and said, here's what I have. Just trusting God that the better is going to come out of this. That the better is going to come out of this. I want to notice another point here. That what Elisha told her to do didn't make sense. What Elisha said to do, he said, you go out here to your neighbors. Now, let me remind you that she had debts. So I don't know if this was the neighbors or if this was who this was. And she was probably known in the community that she had nothing left. And now she was to go out in the community, and she was to ask these people, can I borrow your vessel? Here, can I have your vessel? Can I get this? And I'm going, how is she to explain this? How is she to tell these people? I mean, they already knew that she had debts possibly. But now she's about to go out and get these vessels from them yet. And I want to tell you something. God's plan doesn't always have to make sense in your own mind. If you think you got to make sense of everything God asks you to do, you're going to fall. You don't always have to make sense of what God is asking you to do. There's a blessing in doing it without making sense of it in your own mind. And God will bless that. So she did. She went out there and she borrowed these vessels. She asked, she borrowed them, she brought them back. And she put them in her house and she shut the door. And she obeyed. Obedience this morning is key factor to the will and the plan of God for your life. If you cannot obey, if you cannot follow instructions, it's like a horse you lead to the water, but he will not drink. I don't gather she procrastinated. I don't gather she put this off and said, well, I'm going to have to think through this one. You know, this doesn't really make sense. I'm going to have to somehow try to think through this and think how I can make this work. She left. She went and she got these vessels. She brought them into her house. And she began to fill them with what she had. And I can only imagine as she took that little bottle of oil and she started pouring into these vessels as she went around the room. And I don't know how many. It doesn't tell us how many she got. She went around and she filled these vessels, setting aside. It's the ones she filled and she kept filling until they were full. And it says the oil stayed. I think there was as much oil in that little bottle at the end as there was in the start. But it stopped. It was right there. If she would have went out and got more vessels, I don't think she'd have filled them. Sometimes we like to look at the plan of God like this. You know, well, Lord, I'm okay. I'll get along with you. It's all right. And we kind of follow along, kind of like Peter, a little bit far off. And then we hit it and we're like, oh, no, Lord, no, I don't want that. You know, and we kind of like to keep control of the situation. You know, the only limits that God has is the limits that you place on Him. The impossibility is, there's no impossibility with God. But the only limits that God has is the ones that I put on Him. The blessing stopped with the vessels she had. We like to look at it and say, well, huh, this worked out. Well, hey, Lord, give me some more blessings. That's not the way it works. If you're not willing to follow God the whole way and do the whole thing, the blessing stops, friends. We can't expect blessing when we're willing, when we kind of follow afar off and we try to control the situation. Another thing we notice in this story is that she went into her house and she shut the door. She shut out worry and fear. I can only imagine the distress in her own mind as she went through this. But that needs to happen in our walk with God. You need to go into the room of your heart and shut the door. Do what God asked you to do. It doesn't need to make sense. But obedience is key factor to serving God. Key factor to serving God. She filled those vessels and set aside. Elisha said, go sell what you have. Go sell. So now she's going out and she's selling what she had, the oil. That took a bit of work. And he said, you take the money that you get from those vessels, from selling that oil. And that was a valuable commodity, and you pay your debt. But there's another thing here. He said, and you live on the rest. God's provision doesn't stop just right there. God, the possibility with God is beyond your vision. And if you follow God, it doesn't stop. Okay? There is blessing, there is hope, there is light beyond today for the rest of your life. There was enough for this widow to to serve the Lord and live for the rest of her days. It goes beyond. It goes beyond the immediate need. God bless us as we serve Him. May we be as this person, where we're willing to give God the little bit we have, where we're willing to serve God with what we have. Have faith that God will take the little bit that I have and use it. The best thing you can do for your life is give it to the Lord Jesus and let Him work in your heart. God bless you.